from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
So you get to wave the flag in Paris, my man.
First of all, Steph, appreciate it. Thanks for the words, man. And definitely being a kid, we all come from, you know, different walks of life, different cities, different upbringings. I think the last thing on our mind we ever have is carrying a flag representing our country during the Olympics. So it was never a thought, it was never a dream, but it's an absolute honor.
I think because you are so special, you have the honor of wearing this jacket during the opening ceremony and being the flag bearer with LeBron James.
Mulligan Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. And excusez-moi, I'm pretty sure we got the flag bearers named, Mr. David.
I think we do.
Mon ami.
LeBron James and Coco Gauff.
LeBron.
LeBron James.
Je m'appelle LeBron.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Let's move on.
We are all ready for Alex Marigot. He with NBC5. He's on the scene. He's in France. He is, au contraire, covering said Paris Olympics. Alex, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Great to be with you today. I'm in France, so I'm doing fantastic.
Wow, that is so
not bad.
Awesome.
What good assignment.
Be. Yeah.
You're the only Chicago television reporter there, the way I understand it, right, Alex? So that's pretty cool. That gives you great access to all the locals.
It's been great, David. And, you know, I've been talking to our locals for the last 8 months. I've been getting to know them since December, hearing their life stories, hearing why they do what they do, why they go through these crazy things with their body and their mind to try to be the best in their sports. So it's been a great privilege to tell their stories and tell our Chicago audience about them in these last 8 months. And it's going to be a great privilege to track their progress as we get ready for the first few days of competition here.
Is there any particular thing that you're most looking forward to? I mean, I love so much about the Olympics, and I end up watching a lot of it, partly because my family loves it, and we've watched it, the Olympics together. But is there any one event or one element of it that you're looking forward to more than the rest?
No matter how many times I get asked this question, guys, it's no easier to answer. It's going to be so hard to pick one event. So I'll just try to highlight a couple that I am really looking forward to. Ryan Murphy, who was born in Palos Heights, we talked to him back in March. He could be the first guy ever to win gold medals in 3 consecutive Olympics in the backstroke. So we're going to be hopefully with him and near him when that happens. He's the king of the backstroke. And then the 100-meter dash. There's a really good chance that Noah Lyles and Sha'Carri Richardson could end up being the fastest man and fastest woman in the world at the end of these games, and that would be so cool to have 2 gold medals in such a high-profile event coming back to the U.S. So that would be really fun to see as well. There's so much to choose here. You know, I'm trying to keep track of 39 Chicago-area athletes and
wow.
Then also, you know, the big names, Simone Biles, Noah Lyles, all that kind of stuff. So no shortage of stuff to watch. And then one last thing, just in general, of things I'm looking forward to, is we're out of COVID now. We're back to normal. I'm ready for some crowd noise. We haven't had that, you know, in such a long time. So the excitement, the fans, the families, just getting back to normal, and I'll say better than normal with what Paris is about to do, I'm so excited for it all.
So, Alex, how will you decide? I found it interesting. I know you've covered Olympics in the past. When I did the London Games, every day it was like, well, there's a great local story here, but there's a story of international significance there. And choosing between, you're only one person, but I think there's a lot of divided interests. I just wonder from day to day, from a reporting standpoint, how will you get your guidance and how will you make your decisions?
It's a great question because it's the biggest challenge of my career is doing this, and I'm sure it might have been for you as well, David. There's no clear-cut answer. It's just judgment, right? You're gonna make some wrong calls. You're going to make some great calls about what you think is going to happen day to day. And some of it will get decided on what time people compete, because I do have to be on TV live on the air at 5 a.m. local time here in Paris and 1 p.m. local time. So if there's an event going on at that time, it's kind of hard to make. But then we also have the benefit of being with the NBC larger group, my colleagues from New York, Los Angeles, and a bunch of other stations, where, okay, maybe they can go to one event and ask a question of a local athlete, and then I can cover another one that's got a local athlete. So it's a very collaborative experience, but it is a very big challenge every day, especially when we get into the heat of competition. I might have 5 or 6 Chicago area athletes competing the same day. So trying to keep track of all that is a great challenge, but I'm trying to do my best to give everybody a great look at what's going on here.
So I started watching, I watched the U.S. against France. I believe that was in Marseille in soccer. And then I know I saw the men's basketball team show up. I believe they're in Lille. I mean, I just don't know how you cover an event like this across the country. It's hard enough. Paris is a huge place. It's hard enough to kind of travel across the city. And I guess, did I not see that the volleyball is under the Eiffel Tower? That might be a nice place to hang out. But where is the media center in connection to where, you know what I'm saying? Like, where is the center where you have
logistics
to be? How do you get there? Are you going to be on the Metropolitan or whatever they call it?
Yeah, the Metro. We have already done that 3 times just in the last 2 days, trying to get around, because traffic is already a nightmare in Paris. You have any Parisian, and then you add all the massive amount of closures and the people who are coming in. It's not easy. And on top of the fact that they're trying to host the opening ceremony on the river, which has never been done before. You may have watched every single Olympics, but you've never seen an opening ceremony like they're about to do. Logistics is the greatest challenge, I think, for all of us every Olympics. One of my colleagues from San Diego, he's done 8 now. I've only done 2. And he says, you know, it never gets easier. Every city has its own challenges. So you try to keep track of things if they're not going on immediately in Paris, the way we all do, right? We'll just watch on TV, keep track of maybe colleagues who can see the games or be at those games. And then you have to meticulously plan, then have a plan B and a plan C in case things don't go as they should. It just requires a lot of planning and a lot of keeping track of things. You just got to adjust on the fly. That's how it goes.
In this business, you don't necessarily get starstruck, but there are things that you look forward to and remember. I'll never forget being next to Usain Bolt after he made history and just being like...
You outran him, I
did. I was like, wait, what took you so long? You here already?
There you go.
I got here before you did. How did that happen? Yeah. But I thought that was something that I, you know, remember now, beating him in a race. Yes. But Alex, I think that there are guys and there are women that might appeal to you in terms of like, this is going to be very cool. I hope that I get a chance to encounter him or her. Who is that for you?
Well, certainly Simone Biles would be at the top of that list. She's one of the greatest American athletes ever. She's done things that nobody else can do on the mat. And I will say that starstruck, I agree with you. You try not to be as much as possible, but then you realize that this is the World Series for 2.5 weeks in a row for these people, right? It's back to back to back to back greatness again and again. There's no buildup. We're here. This is it for everybody. And I first realized that actually, even when I was in Beijing, I know this may sound silly, I was watching a men's figure skating practice. Talking about practice, it was the first day we were there. It was the first day we were there, and it dawned on me, especially in an empty arena where nobody else was allowed in, I said, wait a minute, these are the best 6 people at this one thing on the planet, and I'm on this balcony watching them all do their thing. And it just hit. I wasn't even talking to them yet. And that's when it really came over me that the Olympics is unlike any event. And once you really get to know the athletes and see what they go through physically and mentally and the sacrifice and how many of them think of quitting and they come back, it's just you get sucked into the story. You get sucked into believing in them because of how much they believe in themselves and this amazing process that they're all a part of. So it's just been a privilege to cover. And yeah, Molly, that beach volleyball area you talked about right underneath the Eiffel Tower, we got a sneak peek inside yesterday.
Wow.
I don't know of a better place to watch a sport. I mean, it's incredible. You're just right. You're in this beautiful arena, this temporary arena, and boom, there's the Eiffel Tower 100 yards away. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, Paris is just an extraordinary place to begin with. I mean, I don't I don't know if you can even get in a restaurant. There are going to be so many bloody people there. But, you know, you start with a city like that. I guess, am I wrong about this, that the opening is going to go down the Seine? They're going to actually have like a parade of boats or something? Didn't I see
that? That's right.
And
yeah, it's going to be 4 miles, basically, think of from Chinatown to Navy Pier. That's the distance that all these athletes are going to go on these boats, 10,000 athletes, and they're going to get let off right basically across from the Eiffel Tower at the Place de Trocadero, which is actually where our NBC setup is.
Great.
Nobody's ever seen anything like it, guys. I don't know how they're going to do it, but they've got a heck of a plan.
So have you ever covered BMX racing before? I mean, how well-versed are you in the sport of sailing, Alex? And these are the kind of things because of the locals involved and because of it is the Olympics, you're going to experience now.
I had no idea what 49er FX was. I would have thought that was some algorithm or something, but the Maggie Shea, who's our local sailor in that event, 49er FX, taught me all about it. And when I think sailing, guys, I think like a nice day on Lake Michigan, you're having a drink, you're just relaxing. These men and women are hanging off the side of the boat. They're going 20 miles an hour, inches above the water. That's crazy to watch. And yes, the BMX racing, Felicia Stancil, who's from Grays Lake, went to the Tokyo Olympics. She finished fourth. I mean, every time I look at the video, it's even hard to watch. Oh. She was fourth by tenths of a second. Tenths. The whole race is 40 seconds long. So if you think about, I'm preparing for 3.5, 4 years, and it all comes down to 40 seconds, I don't know how you're not on the edge of the seat for the 40 seconds. And by the way, her father's a big fan of the show. I was talking to him earlier. He said he's listening. So, Jamie, if you're listening. Yeah.
Thanks, Jamie.
So, yeah, it'll be fun to watch. Yeah. I do have to brush up on a lot of these things to, remind our folks that may not watch 49er FX or BMX racing all the time.
Do you have any French? Did you polish your language skills or anything?
I've got some high school French I'm pulling out of the back pocket. You know, it's finally paying off. I was always disappointed I didn't study Spanish because that would come a lot more in handy. But, yeah, I'm pulling a little bit out here and there, trying to work it in the restaurants and the taxis and that kind of thing. Nice. Fortunately, there's a ton of volunteers and very many of them speak English and good English so they can get around. But, I'm trying to use it, to feel a little more cultured, especially since, coming out of Beijing, we didn't get to see much of the city or the country at all because of COVID. And so this is a nice real immersion in a new culture this time.
How much do you anticipate watching any of the men's basketball action? Because it is very mainstream. You can find, those guys in any Bulls game, any Bulls season, any NBA season. It's not necessarily what the Olympics are all about in terms of the variety and diversity, but do you want to see the men's team play?
I do. I mean, I'll let you guys maybe have an argument about it, but there could be, I think, 10 Hall of Famers on this team. I mean, when it's all said and done, it's an incredibly stacked roster. I mean,
why can't they play defense then, Alex?
Why can't they close out a 3-point shooter?
Come on, they're bored.
They had a couple scares for sure in the exhibitions. There is only one dream team, so I am not going to compare. But you talk about the amazing talent that's on this team. I'm lucky I have a credential because it's a very hard ticket to get. Everybody wants to see these amazing stars. I was even talking to somebody here, a native Parisian who's got Chicago connections. He says even when the Bulls, yes, that Bulls team from last year came through Paris, it was a big ticket because just to see these NBA stars up close in a regular season game, that was last January, was a big thrill. So you put this connection together. I would love to go see it. I hope I get to see it, a semifinal or a final, assuming they make it. And then we got Anthony Davis, a Chicago native, on that team too. So that's a nice local connection. So yeah, I hope to see that if I can make it toward the end.
I wonder if like Wemby is the most famous. Like, will he be the biggest draw in Paris? Right. I'm just saying,
going back home.
Thing. Yeah. I was speaking to a deputy mayor today in Paris. We were doing a shoot at a market, and his English was not very good. But that was one of the first things he said to me. What do you think of Victor Wembanyama? They know he's a sensation in America and for the sport, and I think they're really proud to claim him and Joel Embiid in a way as well, even though he's playing for Team USA.
He departed. He's a traitor, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, he could have played. He could have done Cameroon? Or France or USA. Yeah, but he chose USA, and I think we're better for it. So, but I think there'll still be lots of cheers when he appears on the court.
Yeah. I mean, I got to tell you, I love the Olympics. I always have. I think it's tons of fun. Even like the gymnastics and stuff, like stuff that my wife and my daughters might be more interested in than my son and I will watch some of the boxing. I've always loved Olympic boxing. Do we have any local Chicagoans fighting? It's always fun.
We have no boxers, but we do have four wrestlers. We're very well represented in wrestling. We've got three Greco-Roman on the male side, and we have a female wrestler, Kennedy Blades. She's just 20 years old. She beat the silver medalist to get into the Olympics, so the reigning silver medalist. So hopes are very high for Kennedy, and she's a force. She's taller than me. She's built like crazy, so hopefully she's able to use her aggressiveness and toughness and come home with a medal.
So when can we look forward to the NBC5 exclusive with Lady Gaga?
The rumors are flying around, guys, on who's going to be at that opening ceremony. It's a closely guarded secret. I wish I knew.
Isn't she supposed to be there?
She's supposed to do a duet with Celine Dion.
Yeah.
She lived in Chicago.
That's what I saw.
Gaga lived here when she was dating the dude from Chicago.
So she's a local, Alex. I think
she's like a local.
Make it happen.
That's right.
Okay?
You know, it's funny because we're starting to claim Simone Biles a little bit via That's Jonathan right. Owens also being a local. So
there you go.
Know, if we can claim Gaga, we can claim Simone for sure. Yeah, that'd be a fun exclusive.
You should make him lift or something. That'd be a good. It'd be a great feature if you put that guy through the paces.
Yes, he's Alex. Camp. Alex works out with Jonathan Owens live at 5.
Alex tears a muscle with Jonathan Owens.
That may be the case. Have fun, though. Yeah. I hope you have a great time. It's a tremendous experience, and I think it'd be one you look back at. And, boy, you know, you're doing such a great service for a lot of fans watching and the
Absolutely.
Locals, but just people just enjoying your coverage. So enjoy it, Alex.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on today. I really enjoyed it.
Have a great trip. That is fantastic. Safe journey. That is the only local reporter on the scene. That's unbelievable.
Only local TV reporter on the scene.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. I didn't mean only local reporter. Our buddy Bobby Vasilopoulos.
Bobby V is there. Stacy St. Clair from the Tribune is there.
Yeah.
Brian Casella, the photographer from the Tribune, is there. So there's some local media there. But yes, Alex Maragos, the only local TV reporter. Covering
we'll have to
the
check
games.
In with him again.
Yeah, we will. That'd be great.
Yeah, we'll keep bothering him because, number one, I love the Olympics. And you know what's great about the Olympics? There's always stories that come up. We should have asked him, are we going to win? Because that's really what it comes down to, right? How many times will we hit the podium? How much gold is in them there hills?
Well, is that – what is it? What are the projections? I'm not even quite sure.
I mean, I always feel like we should win. Are the Russians involved in it at all? I don't know that. I think that they might not even be involved. Are they involved? I don't even know the answer to that question. But I know the Chinese are awful good, and they've got state-sponsored swimmers and such. So that's a problem.
It's all a problem.
It's all a problem.
All a problem.
John Fox. All right. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Mully. From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
And Haw Flashback.
Flashback. Flashback. Flashback.
I would take one step back on, you know, some of Jeff's comments last week. You know, I think what he was saying was, we're not going to do anything that only helps 24. So, you know, it's not just looking towards 25. It's just trying to figure out how do we do things that don't only help 24 just with the position that we're in.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. It was nice to get a chance to talk to Carter Hawkins, and he clarified some stuff.
Well, if you put it that way.
That's right.
Okay, thanks for clarifying that. We appreciated that from Carter Hawkins. It was one of those conversations, to be totally candid, and we respect Carter as much as anybody we interview on the show, and believe he was as forthcoming as he permitted himself to be. But there was an interview where we were making assumptions that he has yet to make or acknowledge publicly.
Mm-hmm.
We interviewed him under the premise that this season is going nowhere for the Cubs and it will not result in a wild card berth. It will not result in postseason baseball. And it was frankly following the lead of what Jed Hoyer introduced on Monday. I don't feel like we were inappropriately jumping to any conclusions, but I don't think he was ready to go there. And when I did call it a lost season, I got a little ahead of myself, but I don't think he was willing to entertain some of the hypotheticals, some of the projections that we are able to do because we're not the general manager of the Cubs.
Sure.
And he's not ready to do, publicly at least, because he needs to maintain a little glimmer of hope.
Well, I mean, is there still a little glimmer of hope? You came in this morning and basically you had ended the season, right? But now here we are a little bit later.
Okay, 4 hours later, caffeine has kicked in.
Yes.
A little bit more perspective there. But
there's a tiny, but I mean, it feels hopeless.
It feels
like they can't score a bloody run, David.
It's very frustrating. And the frustration can get the best of you sometimes when you're looking at realistically what to expect from the Cubs when they have 9 runs in 6 games since the All-Star break, as few as any team in the majors. I don't know how you muster any realistic hope that they can make a run, go on a winning streak, and do what they would need to do. I'm just nodding in the direction of reality. And if I'm the general manager of the Cubs, I understand why you have to lean in the direction of optimism. And I think that's understandable, but I don't feel like this is a team that's ready to take off. They have great pitching lately.
Mm-hmm.
Great pitching lately. But their lack of offensive firepower has been and will continue to be the biggest problem. I don't see that changing, so I don't see any reason to be unrealistic or Pollyanna-ish about their chances.
But I mean, where there's life, there's hope. They are not mathematically eliminated. So from that standpoint, they have a chance. But I don't know how you go about saying that. Why are you laughing at me? I'm just making a point.
They're 11 games out of first. They're in last place, Mully. They are the last place Chicago Cubs. And they are hard to watch. Not as hard as the White Sox.
No,
but they are hard to watch.
No.
And the thing of it is that I'm only laughing a little bit because this week has brought us full circle because it began with Jed Hoyer surprising us by basically, where's that white handkerchief? I want to wave it because we are conceding. We are not adding. We are not going to do anything that would jeopardize 2025. And we heard the clarification from Carter Hawkins, and it's not our job to necessarily, we're parsing the language a little bit, but generally speaking, Jed was giving up on 2024 by not adding to the team. Is that an oversimplification of what we heard?
Yeah, I think it was an oversimplification.
Okay, so
I do. I think that they're
you think they're still competing and realistically got a chance to make the wild card?
No, but I don't know that they're going to be able to do a ton of addition or subtraction at this point. And I don't understand why they'd want to get more minor leaguers.
They need addition.
Really?
They need a bat.
Well,
yes,
they need
really.
But a professional available bat, not like a guy that come back in 4 years, this guy's going to hit the heck out of the ball.
But you didn't hear that. That's my point, is that they didn't say, we're going to go out and get what we lack. We're going to go out and fix what is broken. He said, we're not going to do anything that would jeopardize 2025 for 2024 because we haven't really earned the right to do that. They haven't played well enough to deserve that. And to me, that is understandable, but it was a declarative sentence. It was a declaration to me. And so I feel like a lot of Cub fans frustrated by the reality and I'm already looking ahead.
So we were in the break and we were talking Olympics, and you obviously have this what would we call it, relationship, whether he knows it or not, with Usain Bolt. And I said to you,
well, I said, I recalled what I, my, yes, my covering that event in London was a real cool highlight for me in my career. Yes. Usain Bolt being next to him after that record setting performance was a big deal.
And
yes.
What did I say to you?
And you said, do you know what he named his kid?
I said, did you know that he has a son named Thunder?
I did not.
And you were, you thought I was
you're
lying just,
you're
to you.
You're pulling my leg.
Let me read this to you.
You got to be kidding here.
This, let me just read this to
all
you.
Right.
Bolt's longtime girlfriend, Cassie Bennett, gave birth to their first child, daughter Olympia Lightning Bolt.
Oh my gosh.
And she and Bennett, and Bolt and Bennett then welcomed twin boys, Thunder and St. Leo.
St. Leo Bolt?
He's apparently a committed Catholic, and he,
oh,
that's
I
why
see.
He does it. But so right. He has a St. Leo Bolt,
well,
and a Thunderbolt and an Olympia Lightning Bolt. That's Olympia Lightning Bolt is an awesome name.
That's an awesome name. Olympia Lightning.
Yes.
What's your last name? Bolt.
Yes. And Thunder.
Ah, that is a highly charged family.
I just can't believe you named a kid Thunder.
I can't either. That just is not. It's clever. It's funny.
Yeah.
But there's got to be another name. That's got to be his middle name, right?
Well, it's like when my wife, when I wanted to name our son Cheater Mulligan, she didn't want to go along with it. Why, if you have a last name you can make a pun of, why not do it?
I don't, because everybody is doing it for you.
Yeah.
I don't think you want to do that with your, you name your kids. He actually has a Thunderbolt son.
Thunderbolt is one of his sons. Hmm. He's a twin. I don't know if he's the older one or the younger one. But like, can you imagine Thunder saying to you one day, why couldn't you name me St. Leo?
Well, it's a tough way to grow up.
St. Bolt.
Yeah. Is he a runner? Wouldn't he have to be?
They all have to be runners, right?
Yeah. I think that Alex Maragos should get to the bottom of that. We asked a question about Russia's involvement.
Yes,
in
and,
the Olympics.
And Alex called back and answered it.
Yes.
So the Russia is not in, they will not have a flag and they will not march under a flag, but they will have the same thing they've had before, which is the athletes from, you know, the area, whatever, how do they term it? But they will. There will be athletes from Russia taking a part in the events, but they will not represent the country because they are banned. And I think that's a fair way of doing it because of Vladimir Putin being, because of what he's done in Ukraine and because of the various war crimes, whatever it might be, they are not allowed into the Olympics, but the athletes are allowed in. They just won't do so under the name of the country.
Do we know when the basketball team plays again? The men's basketball team?
They play in Lille. I want to say it's Saturday against is it Serbia on Saturday?
So they've woken up now. They've got the message. They believe they are now playing games that do matter, and they're going to flip that switch and be intense and play defense and rebound.
We do not know.
I think they better wake up.
We hope so. We hope so.
So a guy that would be...
They've opened Sunday?
This weekend, then.
I'm not ready emotionally for a Sunday game. I thought I had a Saturday game coming.
I think it is Sunday. I asked you a question about the roster construction. I'm very curious because of the issues that seem to be apparent in terms of intensity, defensive focus, these kinds of things.
Yep.
Why is Jimmy Butler not in the Olympics? Was that ever considered? Was he ever up for it? He's a guy that has...
The only mention of Jimmy I heard of late is that he got all... I think it was Jeff Teague. Was he not on a podcast or something? And they asked him about him leaving. Like, why did he leave Minnesota? And he answered that it had nothing to do with not getting along with anybody. Right? He wanted to be paid immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So 69 games in, they were like, okay, well, we'll work on that. And he was like, no, I want to be paid right now. And that's how he ended up leaving, over money, over the immediate payment of the money he felt he was deserving.
That's how he ended up in Philadelphia. And then he eventually got ended up
by
in
the
Miami.
Way, speaking of Jimmy, did you see Tibbs just signed a 3-year extension?
Oh, yeah, that was coming.
With the Knicks.
That was coming.
Well, it's done.
He earned it. Yes. Tom Thibodeau deserves that. Jalen Brunson's locked up after his huge sacrifice of a contract. So the Knicks are going to be
he gave money
a team
back
to be
so
reckoned
they could
with.
Sign Tibbs.
He signed for
that's
lesser
not
money, not
that
for
was
Tibbs.
For players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but back to the original question.
Why is Jimmy Butler
not an Olympian?
You know, Jimmy is 34, but he's a different 34. He's more...
He's younger than Durant. He's younger than LeBron. He's younger than Steph.
But Jimmy isn't LeBron or Durant or Steph. Steph is what, 36? I don't know. To answer the question, I don't know.
But he was mentioned. He was one of the names that was mentioned apart to join the team.
Yeah.
I just really think it's more about the veterans are more of the starters, and then they got more of a young next generation coming up off their bench, it looks like.
Yeah. Jimmy can play some defense. That's why I think this team lacks a guy that would be that committed defensively as Jimmy Butler can be on occasion when he wants to. He also is pretty accomplished offensive player. Just curious, his name you don't hear often as guys who should be on the team, guys who missed out on the opportunity, whatever the case may be.
I was led to believe that the gold medal was a fait accompli. I'm just trying to use French terms. I heard that us getting the gold was sort of a deja vu. No?
I would really like a croissant. I am 4 hours into this. I'm like, I'm getting hungry now.
The first time I was in Paris with my wife, who, like, not only studied French in high school, but is actually very good in French, you know? It's like me there, like, un croissant. And she's like, you know, and I'm like, where's that been?
Very intimidating.
Why do you let me try to yell and get, you know, a cup of coffee? I need a cup of Joe. No one would help me.
Did you ask for a cup of Joe, or did you demand a cup of cafe?
I think I tried to order du café. Exactly. Did not work.
Just with that laugh as well.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's going to be a big weekend for the Olympics. I'm talking like it's Friday. It is my Friday.
It's your Friday, so that's why we're allowed to talk about the Olympics.
It's okay. I'm not like Chelly on Wednesday, say, have a good weekend.
Well, his weekend starts earlier than ours.
His weekend might start on Wednesday morning.
What are you going to do with your off day?
I'm going to a Ball State football alumni golf outing tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
In Muncie, yeah.
Will you win that?
Chirp, chirp.
Will you win that golf outing? Are you a good golfer?
Nope.
Will you take my name in vain?
I will definitely take your name in vain.
Yeah, I have to absolutely have the perfect drive or I get to keep going.
Yeah.
That's what I've explained to people.
Golf, we all make decisions in our lives about, you know, I used to golf a lot more when I was younger, like in high school, got to the point where I felt like it was fun, it got decent, and then you don't golf for a while because you're in college or whatever, and then you're not as good because you need to do it regularly.
Right. Yeah.
Then you become older and you become a parent and it's like, well, time and money are two things that you value as much as anything when you're a parent. And the time and money that is necessary to commit to being decent at golf
is beyond my means.
I just gave up.
I was down in North Carolina and I took a lesson and I improved over the course of the lesson. And the guy said, all you need to do is hit a railroad car full of golf balls and you'll be okay. And I'm like looking at him. How many golf balls would be in a railroad car?
That's like a good SAT question.
How in the name of God would I ever find the amount of time needed?
Exactly.
Like, can I do that in half an hour? That's the same problem. Like, my short-term memory used to be really excellent. If I could learn a language overnight, I'd be fluent in every language. But it actually takes a little longer.
Yeah, I don't have that kind of time.
Exactly.
And it just would be too much. And then I almost dreaded being one of those guys that talks about his golf game.
Oh, really?
The rules of thumb for me is that if you're talking wherever, don't tell me about your golf game. Don't tell me about your fantasy football team. Nobody cares.
Wow. That's a pretty good rule of thumb. People who golf a lot do talk about their golf game.
Don't you think?
I do.
Just saying.
I mean.
Is that mean?
Well, it's I would say it's born of not being a golfer. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, if someone wants to drone on endlessly to me about their golf game, I am willing to kind of smile and nod and pretend I understand. It's like someone telling you about their ski trip, and you're just kind of like, oh yeah, that's nice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, you can't relate to it because I don't ski very much.
Well, if something happened on someone's ski if something happened to somebody on their ski trip that was worth talking about in the context of your friends or whatever the case may be, then that's a vacation story. Great. I think that's part of conversation.
Did you hear what happened to Jim? He died. He hit a tree.
Whatever.
What?
Not that. But, you know, maybe.
What else could be interesting?
Maybe you ran into somebody who you had something in common with on the slopes, and you guys sat in the same lift, and you had a conversation about this or that. I don't know what it is. Maybe you had a nice discovered a new recipe. I don't know.
I
don't know, but you can I'll have things happen to you on vacation that you want to retell the story.
My only interesting ski trip story is I went to Innsbruck, Austria, and my roommate was an avid skier at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he would not help me put like the bindings on. I couldn't get the skis on. And I'm like looking for the bunny hill because I was not a skier. And he was like, I'll put these on, but you have to go up on this hill with me. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I had no idea. Well, this was like the toughest hill. It was mm-hmm. like some Olympic hill. I fell getting off the lift. I'm not making that up. I slipped and went down. And then I started to go, and I hit next thing you know, I'm airborne. And I see one of my skis like shoot off, and it just goes down to the bottom of the mountain. This little Austrian kid like skis over to me. I mean, clearly born on skis. He like basically explains to me, give him my other ski, and he'll meet me at the bottom of the hill, which I thank him for profusely. Now I'm standing there. And it was like the abominable snowman. I basically was a giant snowball that rolled down a hill. I'm not making this up. My gloves were sweat socks. I didn't have any gear to go skiing in. So I then get my skis back, and my hands are freezing. My whole body is soaking wet from having fallen down a mountain. And then I had to go off and ski on my own on the bad courses. That happened to me.
That's rough.
It was the worst.
Now tell me about your fantasy football team.
Oh, well, you're never going to believe what happened in week 3.
2-7. Sounds like someone who sucks at golf and fantasy football.
There you go. Yeah,
maybe. Maybe I just don't care.
All right. We've got Dan and Lawrence.
Yes.
I'm looking for confirmation.
Dan and Lawrence next.
Dan and Lawrence are next. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.